Long before a citrus freeze is likely is a good time to ensure cold protection systems are ready, Multi-County Citrus Extension Agent Chris Oswalt says. Oswalt also discusses steps to take at the actual time of a freeze.
What I would say is you really need to sit down and think about what your cold protection plan is. There are typically the types of freezes that we have in Florida, the calm freezes or the windy freezes, and growers really need to determine what their plan are going to be for each of those particular situations, what the critical temperature is that they're going to be concerned about, and have a plan on how to react to each one of those situations, because there are things you would do in a calm freeze that you wouldn't necessarily do in an advective freeze or windy freeze. And you need to know those differences, or you may just be kind of spinning your wheels out there.
In a calm freeze, most growers use microsprinkler irrigation. What could they be doing now? I guess checking their systems, making sure everything's up and running.
Yeah, there's a number of things that you can do, what we would call those kind of passive things that you would do before the freeze comes. Obviously, you want to make sure that your irrigation system is operating properly, that it's running at the right pressure, it's delivering the right amount of water for cold protection. You'd want to also make sure that your fuel tanks for your power units are full if they're running on diesel. And you want to make sure that, like I said, that the power units on those pumps are operational, and that you have a plan for if a freeze lasts more than a day or two, you know, how are you going to refuel those tanks? Do you have the ability to do that? Have you lined up those kinds of resources to be able to do that? So there are a number of things that you can do in that respect. Make sure if you're going to use irrigation, that they're operating properly. If you have wind machines, you want to make sure that that equipment is also operational, it's going to function, and it's going to turn on when you need it to come on. But there are also a number of cultural things that we can also do. One of those is if we go out there, we want to make sure that we keep the ground closely mowed, or maybe even cultivated, lightly cultivated, so that we remove a lot of the rank weed growth that could act as air dams to prevent cold air drainage, or even insulate the soil from absorbing some of that heat during the day. So that's an important thing that growers can do. Another thing that we shouldn't probably overlook is tree health. I know with HLB that's a real struggle, but try to make sure that the trees are in as best a healthy condition as can be going into the winter. They seem to be able to withstand colder temperatures a little bit better than trees that are stressed or weak, and those are things that we can think about ahead of time. Crop load will also affect, to some degree, the susceptibility of trees to freezing temperatures. Heavily cropped trees are actually stressed trees. So if there's some things in your cultural program that you can do to mitigate some of the alternate bearing or real heavy crops in some of these years, and kind of even out that year-to-year variation so you don't get that excessive stress for carbon in the tree, I think that would be something that you would plan ahead to do.
Let's say we know a freeze is coming, say the day before, 8 o'clock in the morning. We know a freeze is going to hit that night. What do you start thinking about when the freeze is imminent?
Well, what you want to do is you want to get you a good source of weather information. Wherever that may be, whatever you feel most confident in and is most consistent for you or your location. Weather stations, if you have those, those are a good resource to use. But you want to think about, you know, having that stuff in place. But when the freeze is coming, you've got the forecast that says that we're going to get cold. You need to make a decision. Especially with microsprinkler irrigation, when are you going to turn on that system? Obviously, you don't want to wait to a point where you're going to have trouble with emitters freezing up. You want to make sure that the water comes on before that, and you're going to have to make that decision well before it gets to 32 or 28, because you do not want that system to not be operating properly. So you're going to make those decisions early on in the morning. What's that critical temperature? When do I need to turn on that system? Is it going to get cold enough to do damage? And am I going to benefit from running irrigation? So those are the things that I think you would think about that morning. You come up with a plan. You'd monitor the weather conditions, and as the temperature starts to fall, make sure you have the resources available and in place that you can get those irrigation systems on. You'd also want to make sure that if you're protecting young trees, that you make sure that you're using flat fan type emitters so that you distribute a solid spray of water on those younger trees to protect them from cold damage, because that does work fairly well, water, microsprinkler irrigation, in calm freezes and in windy freezes. So it's important that you have the right type of emitter. Nothing could be more disheartening than having a widely spoked emitter that missed your young tree, and the next morning you come out and find out that you got some wind and you had evaporative cooling and you had some significant young tree damage. So you want to make sure you got the right emitters. They're in the right place. They're on the north, northwest side of the tree, aimed at the tree. If you elevate your microsprinklers, again, you should use flat fan type emitters so that you get an even distribution of that water up in the canopy of that younger tree. You don't want to have the emitters too high, but that has been shown to afford a level of protection a little bit greater than just a single microsprinkler on the ground. Now, in mature trees, during calm freezes, microsprinkler irrigation has provided benefit within the canopy of trees. When the wind blows, that probably is not as great as in a calm freeze. So you want to make sure under those conditions, I don't think it's as critical about the flat fan emitter. The spoked emitters underneath the tree delivering an adequate amount of water can provide modification of the microclimate within the tree and therefore provide a level of protection from freeze.
Of course, another big issue, when do you turn it off the next morning after the freeze?
All right, this is one thing that if you're going to use water for cold protection or irrigation for cold protection, it's imperative that you understand what the wet bulb temperature is. The wet bulb temperature is the temperature at which a wetted surface will become due solely to the evaporation of water or ice off of that surface. And you really need to know that wet bulb temperature because that's going to determine how cold it can get when you turn off that irrigation system. So that temperature is what you're going to kind of use as your guide, not so much air temperature, although air temperature is important. Of course, it will be hopefully above freezing, but that wet bulb temperature needs to come up above what you determine to be your critical temperature. So if you do get significant evaporative cooling, you know what that lowest temperature will be, which would be the wet bulb if you're using irrigation.
There's always the warning, if you don't do these things right with water, you actually run the risk of doing more harm than good.
Yes, you can, and that's very important, and that's why those of us that are in extension and have for many years, when we have started using microsprinkler irrigation or any kind of irrigation for cold protection, we talk about the rates of water and the effect of evaporative cooling. And that's a very critical concept to understand, that if you do have a failure of your irrigation system and the wet bulb temperature is below your critical temperature, you can't apply any more water or freeze any more water. The plant surfaces can become the wet bulb temperature, and when they do, and it's below the critical temperature, you can get significant damage, more damage than probably if you didn't run water at all.
Anything else you'd like to add about cold protection?
Just have a plan, have good information on which to base your plan on, and make sure your plan goes according to schedule.
Ernie Neff, Southeast AgNet.